Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
In the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitudes, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny already went to bed. That's because she snapped too many tubes of the blue cookies in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people try to pass the badge, ready to travel some kind of fashion show. Get up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fight to fight the party. Oh, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. It's out to tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell. Mafia's running it. And I'm watching the Yankees and Kluber finally back. He's been on the IL for about 8 months. They signed him in the offseason. He's a broken down old car. They got him out on the mound finally pitching in Anaheim against the Angels. And the Yankees lead 2-0. They scored a couple of runs early in the first. And they're leading the Angels out of the gate. So we'll keep our eyes on that. And all the other games going on in Major League Baseball tonight. There are good West Coast games, late night games that have intrigued me. First of all, they're still playing in Tampa. It's 4-1 Rays on the Red Sox. And as far as the West Coast games, the Dodgers and Braves are going to start in about 5 minutes. And the Astros Mariners, same thing in Seattle. Already final. Jays 7-3 over the Orioles in Toronto. The Cardinals beat the Reds 3-1. What's happening to the Reds all of a sudden? The Marlins beat them in the last two. And that was as sloppy as them losing those games at Wrigley to the Cubs. Now they're blowing games against the Cardinals. The Cardinals season's over. Now all of a sudden the Cardinals go into Cincinnati tonight and beat them 3-1. The Reds are melting. An opportunity tonight, you would think, for the Padres, who are up 2-0 on the Diamondbacks after one in Zona. Today, the Twins beat the Tigers 3-2. Brewers lead San Francisco 1-0, top of the second in the City by the Bay at Oracle. The Rangers lead the Rockies 4-0 at Globe Life. Phillies up on the Nationals 7-4 in D.C. Harper with another home run in that game. He has owned his former team. And that's everything going on in Major League Baseball. But tonight we welcome in our radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana, do Tijuana, Sports Map Radio, and Sports Byline USA Armed Forces Radio all over the globe. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench. And I'm doing the show. I want to click something, so I don't care what you think of me as I walk into the camera from close up. Hold on. I got a lot happening here. So hopefully that worked. And Mafia's got me doing like 5 million things at once here. I'm trying to fix some things. We'll see if that worked. I have no idea. Anyway, so it's the first time we've seen Kluber in forever. He's been out, and he's finally back on the mound for the Yankees. Remember, they lost the last two games in Oakland at the Ashtray against the A's, but they still have kept their lead on top of the wild card standings, at least in terms of where they stand in the top slot by two games over Boston and Oakland, 2.5 behind Boston, Seattle 4.5 back, Toronto 5 back. And I'm going to cut it there at 5. Cleveland's 9 back. They're not making up 9 games and doing anything. So we're going to watch these games tonight. I am interested in that Atlanta game. I want to watch that. I got my eyes on the Yankees. We got a lot of college football to talk about. It's a gigantic week. Ton of teams have their openers Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Going to be a blowout. I can't wait for all the action. And then next week, next Thursday, and next Sunday, the NFL season begins in earnest. It's Pharrell on the bench.
There's listening to Sports Grid, then there's listening to Sports Grid. You know you're doing it right when friends ask you about the week's matchups, the wife is happy, and your teenager regards you with quiet awe.
Here's your slippers, Dad.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So the National League wild card, the Dodgers have that sewn up by 12 games over the Reds. The Reds continue to pike now all of a sudden. I don't know if you've noticed that. They've lost 3 in a row, 5-5-10. The Padres have been so awful, though. They've gone 2-8-10, and it's even worse than that. I mean, their skid has been going on longer than 10 games. Where they lost the lead, and now they've just sunk even further. But if the Reds are going to lose every night, this is their chance to, you know, make up for it and get back into it if they want to be in the postseason. The way I look at it, though, is, I mean, I guess if you get in a one-gamer with the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, they're going to throw Walker Buehler at you, and you're going to lose. And I really don't care at all if it's you, Darvish, or Blake Snell, to be honest with you, because neither one of them have been that good with San Diego. I mean, at least this year they haven't. I mean, that's all there is to it. They just got Darvish and Snell, and Snell's had like a couple good starts, and that's it. That's amazing to me, kind of, that, you know, Tampa must have known something, because the last time we saw him pitching for Tampa, he was in the World Series in a game 6, and they yanked him early, and then they got rid of him, and he goes to the Padres, right? And then what has he done with the Padres besides nothing? He's had one great game for the Padres. That's it. So And the rest of their pitchers are hacks. Paddock's a hack. No one wants to hear it in San Diego, but get used to it. I mean, at least somebody doesn't suck up to them. I'm going to tell it like it is. That's all there is to it. They got all these guys that don't get it done. Weathers, Paddock, don't get me started. So, bottom line. And if they play the Dodgers in a one-gamer at Dodger Stadium, they're going to get their ass beat. I think that's what most people, bettors anyway, I mean, who's going to bet on them? I mean, the Reds can't get out of their own way. The Padres have sucked for a month and a half or longer. Do you remember when, like, the Padres were good? I mean, honestly, they're 7 games over 500 now, and they've got, they're 5 games under 500 on the road. They've been terrible. And, I mean, they're finished in that West as if they haven't been. They've been finished forever in that race. The Dodgers are 2.5 behind the Giants. People still, you know, we talked about it today on Coast to Coast, that they're not a favorite, like, playing the Diamondbacks, who are in last place with 44 wins. I mean, they are only Baltimore's worse. Only Baltimore is worse than Arizona. And let me tell you something. I went to see them play in Philadelphia over the weekend. And I mean to tell you, like, I'll give you Marte is obviously their best player, hitting like 350. The guy is a stud. But literally, the rest of that team is complete ass. I mean, it is just terrible. That is, I said today on Coast to Coast, I'll say it here. It's not a major league team. It really isn't. I'm sitting there watching. I'm sitting right behind home plate, 5 rows behind home plate. And I'm like, this is like a A-ball team. I don't even know what this is. This isn't a major league baseball team. I'm sitting there with my buddy going, man, they're like, it's amateur hour here. It's a, I mean, I've seen better double-A baseball teams. I'm not even kidding. I've seen better minor league baseball teams than the major league Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean to tell you, they are absolutely pantsless. They are worthless. They have nothing. I mean, there is literally not one guy on the whole team besides Marte that you have any kind of fear for when he comes to the plate at all. Peralta used to matter. He's 34. He looks 40. His game's broken down. They have nothing on that team. I'm serious. Look, I'm going to prove it to you. Like, you have to see it to believe it, right? So, the Diamondbacks, right? Here you go. I'm going to show you. Rojas, Marte. I'll give you Marte. Smith, the right fielder. I mean, this stuff is so embarrassing. I can't even. I'll be here all day. I mean, it's Pavin Smith. Pavin Smith. Who the hell is that? And then Walker, Christian Walker. Is after him, the first baseman. Then there's Peralta. Van Meter is the third baseman. I will say this about Van Meter. I watched him. Josh Van Meter has a really strong arm, but he can't hit. He's hitting 218, but he's got a cannon for an arm over at third. Their catcher is Dalton Varsho. The shortstop is Nick Ahmed, and I mean, and pitching tonight is Gilbert. Now listen, honestly, Tyler Gilbert is pitching tonight for them. You have got to be kidding me. Like, there is not, what, like, who in their right mind has ever heard of any of them? I mean, literally any of them. You've never heard of any of those players. I bet most people don't even know that, Marte is the best player. I bet they don't even know who he is. They don't even know he plays center field. I mean it. And I mean, I saw them get blanked 7-0, and they brought nothing to the table. I mean, they could even, I think they had 3 hits in the game. I mean, they are anemic beyond belief. And I've had some people, like when I was at the Phillies game, I'm not going to call it the Diamondbacks game. When I was at the Phillies game, there were people literally tweeting me about how bad the Diamondbacks suck. They're like, oh my God, they're so awful. And I'm sitting there watching them going, I mean, this is crazy. I don't think I've ever been to a game in my life. I've been to millions of baseball games. I truly believe, I'm going to just say it, that is the first time I've ever gone to a Major League Baseball game that I can remember ever in my life where I literally thought that the one team was not a Major League Baseball team. It was like I was at a bad movie or something. It was like, what am I watching here? This is a, I got Harper on one side, Real Muto, they got all these guys, Didi Gregorius, I mean, Herrera, they got all these players you've heard of. And then the other team's got no one you've heard of. And I'm sitting there going, I've never been to a game before to see a major league game where one team was so much better than the other team. Like, and I don't even think the Phillies are good, but at least they have like a major league team. And then the Diamondbacks are like an A-ball Florida State League team. That's how bad it was. And I was like, I'm at a major league game with a A-ball team playing the Phillies in Philadelphia in front of 25,000 freezing fans, 69 degrees, cold, drizzling, windy, miserable. And I'm going, this is not a major league baseball team. And we made fun of them all night. I'm sitting there with my buddy just going, oh my God, what is this? That's not a team. It's Pharrell on a bench. Through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
Acquito, right? All right, Pharrell on the bench, and I gotta tell you, I'm watching this Osaka. I just turned her on in the primetime U.S. Open in Flushing in New York. It started today, right? And so she's on primetime right now at night on television. And I don't deny she's great. I mean, I think she's a great tennis player. There's no doubt about it. I have my reservations about whether or not I'll be honest that she's going to ever like catch Serena Williams, you know, in terms of career stuff. Now, I know that sounds crazy to say because she's so young and she has her whole career in front of her. But the reality is that, or even to compare her to Serena, but that's what everybody does. Everybody compares everyone to Serena Williams because she's the best, right? Venus isn't even mentioned in the same breath with her sister. That's it. She's the best. And I think most people would think that she's the best that, frankly, ever was. Now, I know they'll say, you know, people will argue that there's, you know, all these women tennis players that are as good as her or better than her or whatever. You could go down the list. Navratilova, Evert, Steffi Graf. You could go on and on. But no one's better than her. Billie Jean King, nobody. That's, I mean, she would kill her I mean, she would annihilate her. She's so strong. She plays tennis more powerfully than any woman I've ever seen play, right? But here's the deal. The girl, Osaka, is the number one player in the world. And when you're the number one player in the world, people think that you're going to do incredible things, like win two or three slams a year, at least, right? Or, you know, at the very least, one. And then they start comparing you to Serena Williams. When you're the number one player in the world, everyone starts comparing their game. It doesn't matter who it is, because there's been all kinds of women tennis players that have been really good that get graded. Like, you know, like Kim Clijsters will win and she'll do great things at Wimbledon or whatever. And then they'll start comparing her to Serena Williams. Like, what, you know, what is Kim Clijsters going to do in her career compared to Serena or others? It the list goes on and on. Sharapova, they did it too. And, you know, et cetera. So here's my point. This girl, Osaka, is clearly the best player in the world. I know they try to tell you it's Barty or someone else, whoever, but this girl's the best player in the world. And I just don't think she can ever live up to her based on the fact that she's having all these problems with her mental health. And I mean, I think at some point it's going to inhibit her. I think it's going to drag her down. Like, how can you have the career of whatever it is, 39 slams that Serena Williams has, when you, no one likes saying it because now it's taboo to even mention it. You're not allowed to say she can't handle the media. She doesn't want any part of the media. She won't do, she's like, she can barely sit through an interview and she gets all kinds of flustered and anxiety and everything else. Fair enough. That's a real problem that she has to deal with. That's my point. How can she go as long as it's going to take to catch Serena Williams winning slams when it seems like she has a problem leaving her house? Like, I don't get it. Like, she cancels, she drops out of tournaments left and right, and she has issues. Fair enough. God bless you. Have them treated. Go get treated. Do whatever you got to do. Seek help, see a shrink, do whatever it takes, rest, whatever else. And that's exactly, she's, you know, missing tournaments, pulling out of tournaments left and right, right? I mean, that's exactly what she's done. And then you're telling me that every year now, how many tournaments is she going to miss? How many slams is she going to miss? Because her mental capacity is not there. And the media seems to get to her for some reason. And I have to tell you, I don't even, like, and I hear this Chris Evert talking about right now, you know, when you're playing her, you're mentally dejected when you're down 5-0 and she's kicking this girl's ass from Czechoslovakia 6-4 and 5-0. This is about to end. But the reality is this, as I'm saying, if you miss slams every year and you have these problems doing interviews and everything else, and you have mental health issues, I don't see how she could play, frankly, long enough to catch Serena Williams ever or to be as great as her. I'll take the under. I'm betting the under. I'm not betting on her. If she's got these issues, what, are they going to go away just overnight? Just going to vanish into thin air? I mean, I don't think she can. Just, if you have to do that every single year and deal with that, like, at some point, doesn't it consume you and eat you alive? I mean, is that not an issue? That's a problem, is what that is. And then I can't believe, I got to tell you, I can't even believe what I've seen with this U.S. Open. They're giving them private mental rooms. Did you see this stuff, Mafia? They're giving them quiet rooms, the players.
Yeah, I did see it. It's crazy the lengths this has gone to from her comments and her withdrawals. I mean, I guess they're so worried about everyone pulling out and them not making their money that they're going to bend over backwards for every single player.
So they're actually giving the players like quiet rooms to, I guess, go chill and meditate and find themselves or whatever. And I, in my right mind, I just cannot grasp that in any capacity ever. Do you think, can you imagine telling Ely Nastasi or John McEnroe to go sit in the quiet room and calm yourself and chill out, or even Nick Kyrgios with his temper tantrums? Or how about Djokovic, who's worse than Kyrgios? Djokovic, it's so funny that no one ever talks about what a savage animal he is with his behavior on the tennis court, smashing rackets and having meltdowns one after the next. Meanwhile, Kyrgios has one every couple months. Every 3-4 months, he has a meltdown, and they treat him like the guy was a rapist. I mean, they really do. And the other guy, Djokovic, they just let it slide because he's the number one player in the world. So here's my point. My point is they're giving quiet rooms to the, I guess, for, you know, whoever is the top player. If you're Osaka or you're Joker, you get whatever you want. Everybody else, you can use them too, but you don't matter. When have you ever heard in your right mind ever a tennis tournament in your life, or any sport for that matter? Can you imagine if the pitcher who just gave up 4 runs in the fourth inning could go underneath the stadium and in between innings hit the quiet room? I mean, what is going on here? I cannot believe that now they're giving tennis players quiet rooms at tournaments. Now, listen, I think it's the first time ever, and it's at the U.S. Open. So, I mean, the bar has been set. It's at the U.S. Open that they're now giving them quiet rooms. Now, I remember Mafia, he knows I went to the U.S. Open. I went to the Heineken room. And in the Heineken room, I was able to drink Heinekens. And then I sat in the upper deck of the Arthur Ashe Stadium at night with my friends. And believe me, you, there was no quiet room up there. There was a smoke room, though. We called it the smoke lounge at the U.S. Open, where everyone sitting in the upper tiers of the stadium was smoking bowls. Are you kidding me? A quiet room? What is next? I mean, I've already seen the masseurs and the doctors now that they have for these tennis players. If they cramp up or they're dehydrated and they have leg, you know, calf cramping, leg cramping, they send out the MASH unit to treat them on the chairs over on the side of the court. But now, what are they going to be able to leave the court if they're not feeling up to the third set? Maybe have a half an hour break in the quiet room? I mean, you have got to be kidding me. So she complained about her mental health, and now they have quiet rooms for everybody? I mean, what is next? I mean, honestly, I don't get it. I just don't get it. If you can't handle the media, stop playing tennis. Why should the world stop because you can't handle it? Everybody else can handle it. You can't handle it. So they're going to shut down the sport for you? You must be pretty special if they're going to shut down, change all the rules, and create quiet rooms for all the players because you have problems. I mean, that is truly unbelievable to me. It really is. It blows my mind, Sorrell on the Bench.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need, strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the Winning Edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So she won the match, and then afterwards they said that she really resonates. Chris Evert said she resonates with fans. They just love her, her authenticity, her honesty, her real true self, that she talks about her problems publicly and that everyone's on her side. And then they gave everyone quiet rooms at the US Open. I'm like, what is next? Hookers? Everybody gets one? I have never seen anything like it. Mike Chappell of Fox 59 in Indianapolis, CBS 4, of course, as well, is on the bench to talk about the Colts tonight. How you doing, Mike? Hope everything's all right, buddy.
Doing real well. How you guys doing?
I'm hanging in. So I have to tell you, today I was doing my TV show, and we were going on the litany of problems that the Colts have had with injuries, COVID. I mean, it just is absolutely mind-blowing to me. What in God's name? I just don't understand. Over a month, I don't think I've ever seen a team with worse luck. Like, all the little things have been piling up. Am I crazy, or is that happening?
No, and there really haven't been little things. I mean, it's funny. It started with Frank Reich missing the first week of this of camp as a breakthrough positive test. In short order, that was like number four on our list. Because before he got in there, Carson Wentz had the injury. And then he has foot surgery. Ryan Kelly, their Pro Bowl centers, out with an elbow. And then Quentin Nelson, their all-world guard, is out with foot surgery. And so all of a sudden, like, say, Frank Reich is no big deal, relatively speaking. And then the day's running together. Today's Sunday. We get word that T.Y. Hilton's going to miss some games with a disc issue. And that kind of shakes the team. And then, never mind. We've got three major players on the COVID list. So it's been one thing after the other. And there's probably a silver lining. I haven't had time to find it yet. The only silver lining is, I guess, we're 13 days away from the start of the season. So some of this can go away. Not all of it. But this has been – I've covered this team since they relocated to Indy in 84, and I can't compare it to anything. Now, I realize COVID really throws things out of whack, but even with the injuries, I just can't compare a series of situations just sort of plaguing training camp.
I mean, it is crazy. So Ehlinger went down with a knee. The rookie, he's out 6 weeks now. So we know that it's Eason. And I still said today that I believe Wentz will go against Seattle in the opener because it's in 13 days. And if he's on this list, I still think he's going to be able to go. A, because I think he looked pretty good last week on the foot. And B, I don't think this is a big deal. I know it's of concern. But it sounds more to me like, am I wrong? You tell me if I'm wrong. It sounds more like he was in contact with somebody, or does he flat out have COVID?
No, he's a close contact. He was the way protocols are. And again, when camp first opened, we kept asking all these players, you know, vaccinated, unvaccinated, and some would tell you, and some would say it's a personal choice. But the way protocols are, the fact that you're on the list as a close contact means you're unvaccinated. So, you know, all of a sudden we know for sure that Ryan Kelly, Zach Pascal, and Wentz are unvaccinated. Same with Quentin Nelson, who last week was put on COVID as a close contact. And Eric Fisher, the guy they brought in to be their left tackle, he's still on the list with a positive test. So it's might not be an issue right now because, again, like Quentin Nelson, he was a close contact last Thursday, I think. Well, he was cleared, or Friday, again, the days run together. But him missing 5 days, then he's back. He was back today. So, you know, theoretically, if all these guys have the same time frame, then they'll be back Thursday. Well, but the problem is Ryan Kelly's missed 3 weeks of camp with – a high percentage of the elbow, and he needs to practice. More than that, Carson Wentz is coming off of August 2nd foot surgery, and the plan was he's not done team drills since he had surgery. So the plan was, after going through limited work last week, pretty strenuous 7-on-7 work, but no teamwork. Well, the plan was today have teamwork, a light day tomorrow, and then a heavy team day on Wednesday, a light day Thursday, and then you start next week and you're ready to go. Well, he's not getting that work now. So he can't be back out at practice until Thursday at the earliest. So it's just one thing after the other. And, yeah, I expect him to practice. I expect, you know, barring a positive test, he'll be out there. But he will miss time. The more concerning thing, and I'm not going to get on a COVID vaccination soapbox because I'm just not. But right. If this happens, let's take last week, for example, when on Thursday, I believe it was, or maybe it was Friday, both Quentin Nelson and Eric Fisher go on the list. Well, if that's the regular season, they're out. They missed the game. The fact that it happened early in the week this week, they've got a chance to go through protocol. But if this happens in week 2, week 5, week 7, and it happens late enough in the week, that player is not going to play if you're unvaccinated. There's not time to go through the protocol. So that's the issue. And the Colts were one of the least vaccinated teams. It was like 75% the last time we talked to Frank Reich. I think the league put out that 93% of the players are vaccinated. Well, the Colts are bringing, you know, they're not up in that group. And it's just like you're rolling the dice on can you avoid this late in the week of a game week? Because, again, if you're a close contact, if you're unvaccinated, close contact, late in the week, you are going to miss a game.
It's crazy. You know, I got to tell you, when I remember you from, believe it or not, when you started writing in Indy in the beginning of your career there, I was in Indiana. I went to IU, and I covered Bob Knight and you name it. I did that for 5 years, and I was on the air there. I was not on a college station. I was on a real station. And I did morning, afternoon drive. I did overnight DJ. And I remember you as a writer. And not only do I remember you as a writer, I remember you as a legendary writer, that you became
now, wait
one
a minute.
Of the greatest writers in Indiana sports ever on a beat on newspapers. And that you worked at that, I think, that Star forever. When did you?
Yeah, about 30 years. Yep.
Right. Like, so what? You stopped writing the column and then became a TV star like later in life? Like, that is awesome. But whatever happened to your great writing? Like, I didn't, like, most of these great writers, they got that itch till they go to the grave. I went to Ernie Pyle.
Well, I worked at Star for like 30 years. They were taken over by Gannett, which I didn't care for. And then they offered a bunch of us older guys buyouts. In 2014, so I took it, and a lot of us left. And then I've still been covering the Colts, and I still write. I do the digital copy for CBS4 and Fox 59. I've done that for like 5 years, so I still do what I did. I'm just doing it for a different group. But yeah, it's I tell you, you mentioned Bob Knight. When I really started, I got out of Ball State in like 73,
right?
And I went to Anderson, Indiana. And sure. That's when we had the Anderson IU pipeline of Bobby Wilkerson and Ray Talbert and all these guys. And I went to both IU's the national championship games, and what was it, with Wilkerson in 76 and
sure.
Talbert. And any writer, if you could kind of have them do the hard work, cover Bob Knight for a year back when he was –
right.
You know, in his heyday, he was a holy terror. Fun to watch a team play, but boy, he was tough. He was really tough to deal with.
I was on TV today, and I think I said this on TV today to, or maybe it was last week. I had a guy on from Boston, and Jim McBride of the Globe, and I said, because he covers Belichick, right, and every day,
yeah.
And I said, there's only one guy more intimidating than Bill Belichick when it comes to a presser, and that was Bob Knight. I mean, Bob Knight, bar none, right. When you went into that room after an Indiana basketball game, it was like he was just waiting for someone to ask him a stupid question. And frankly, he thought everyone's question was stupid. It didn't matter how good you were.
Yeah.
The only one he was friends with was his best friend, the guy from the Bloomington Herald, the legendary Bob writer. Bob Hamill, that's it. He loved him. Yep. Everyone else was doomed to hell.
Well, and the difference in Knight and Belichick is Belichick just sort of freezes you out. He gives you a look, but he freezes. Knight would come after you. He just, again, we all ask dumb questions, but there's ways to handle dumb questions. And he was just an intimidating force. And it didn't matter whether, outside of Bob Hamill. Beyond that, everybody was fair game. And, I really dreaded going down there because I was young at the time, and you need to have some pretty good onions to ask questions to him, right? Because it was not going to end well.
I actually, believe it or not, as they say about him, if he's your friend, he's the best friend you could ever have, and if he's your enemy, you should move. I actually got along with him and covered him for 5 years. And did the Bob Knight show and did things with the team and was there in 87 when they beat Syracuse. And he has done my show all these years later. I'm 56, so I've been with him for a long time, and he still calls me dirty names and everything else. But he has been friendly to me for all these years, and it's one of the most overwhelming friendships I've ever had in the business of media. Like, because I've been a national host forever, but there's only one guy that I ever really, and I know this probably sounds crazy to you, but I actually looked up to him. I know everything you're saying is true about the way he treated people was awful, but the way, the things that I learned from him and the game, I love the game so much, basketball. I was at dinner the other night with people. I said, there's only one place that they play basketball 365 days a year. It's the Hyper at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah.
In Indiana and in Kansas, they play really good basketball. Hey, can I ask you a question? I know this is going to sound crazy, but I have to take a huge break till the top of the hour. Can I call you back at the top of the hour and continue this conversation? Because it's too good to stop. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to take
the U.S. Open, so call me back.
All right, watch the U.S. Open. I'll call you at the top of the hour. We'll have more time to talk because I find you fascinating. I remember you vividly. Mafia, we'll get him back on at the top of the hour. Mike Chapp, a legendary Hall of Fame sports writer from Indianapolis, talking to us on the bench. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So I turn around. I was watching the Dodgers. They're up 2-0 on the Braves. And then I turn back to the Yankee game, and Kluber got rocked for 5 runs. I mean, what is happening here? I'm just and they leave him in. It's they're going, I think, to the 5th inning already. I could be wrong. I can't keep track of it all, because I think the Angels were just up in the bottom of the 4th. It's 5-0. And I'm and they leave him in. I'm earlier in the game, Michael Kay was doing the game, and he was really, I guess, bored or something, because he was they were showing the rock formation out and left or whatever in the outfield at Anaheim, which if you're a baseball fan or a Yankee fan or any kind of fan and you've watched baseball before, doesn't everyone know now after 25 years that they have a giant rock out in the outfield in Anaheim and that it has a waterfall in it? He's that's a rock formation in left field and a trickling waterfall sliding on the rocks and left on a beautiful evening in Southern California. It's 73 degrees, not a chance of rain. I'm like, you could see the waterfall trickling down. I'm like, what is this guy doing? What is happening here? He's talking about the rock formation and left. I'm like, is this happening? What is going on? So when we come back, we'll talk to Mike Chappell, legendary sports writer from Indianapolis. I do want to ask him more questions about the Colts. And while I'm at it, Indiana football, because they're supposed to be so good in college football this year. It's Pharrell and a Bench.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.